And so we have Carla W., Anonymity in the Digital Age, What Does Tradition 11 Mean in 2026? Eric C., Changing Perceptions, Can Technology Help AA Reach a New Generation? Chris H., Hybrid Meetings, Blessing, Burden, or Both? Terry H., Playing Catch Up, Where Does AA Go Next with Technology? Beth S., AI and AA, Tool for Service or Threat to Our Fellowship? Presenter one. Where is the anonymity? Oh, I'm going backwards. Sorry about that. Someone scrolled up for me. There it is. There may be some of you who are not familiar with our tradition of personal anonymity at the public level. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Thus, we respectfully ask that AA speakers and AA members not be photographed, videotaped, or identified by full name on audio tapes or in any published or broadcast reports of our meetings, including those reports on the internet or other media technologies. The assurance of anonymity is essential in our efforts to help help other problem drinkers who may wish to share our recovery program with us. Our tradition of anonymity reminds us that AA principles come before personalities. We have an agreement with an outside vendor, Smile God Loves You Media Services, to offer for sale audio recordings of the event. You can purchase an audio recording on a thumb drive, a link to an MP3 or CD outside this room at the Smile God Loves You table. And our reader for this panel is Don D.
My name is Don Duncan. I'm an alcoholic. I currently serve Area 42, District 6, DCM. I also got engaged at PRASA. She's sitting back by that microphone in white jeans, so you can tell her congratulations or are you crazy? Thank you for the PRASA committee, and the reading title is Freedom Under God, The Choice is Ours. Our chief hope for the future is that these appalling urges of ours will be held in restraint by self-discipline, by the love of AA, and by firm group and public opinion. These powerful, constructive forces all working together have thus far been enough. We pray that they may always prevail. Let's look once more at how immense this temptation really is. A vast communications net now covers the earth even to its remotest regions. Granting all its huge public benefits, this limitless world forum is nevertheless a hunting ground for those who would seek money, acclaim, and power at the expense of society in general. Here the forces of good and evil are locked in struggle. All that is shoddy and destructive contests all that is best. Therefore, nothing can matter more to the future welfare of AA than the manner in which we use this colossus of communication. Used unselfishly and well, the results can surpass our present imagination. Should we handle this great instrument badly, we shall be shattered by the ego demands of our own people, often with the best intention on their part. Against all this, the sacrificial spirit of AA's anonymity at the top public level is literally our shield and our buckler. Here again, we must be confident that the love of AA and of God will always carry the day. Last, in Tradition 12, we see anonymity as a spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. That's from The Language of the Heart, Freedom Under God, The Choice is Ours, November 1960. Thank you.
Our timer for today, for this panel, is Linda D.
Hello, I'm Linda and I'm an alcoholic. I am from Area 8, District 3. I am the GSR for the We Not Me meeting Saturday nights at 7 p.m. in Escondido. Come on. Hope to see all of you in December at the Pacific Regional Forum. For this session, each of the presenters will give an 8-minute presentation. The green light comes on immediately after the presenter introduces themselves. The yellow caution light comes on after 7 minutes, and the red light ends the presentation. If the red light turns on, we will thank the speaker with warm applause. If the presentation is being interpreted, the time allowed will be doubled to 16 minutes, with a yellow light at 14 and a red light at 16. Sharing from the floor microphones will be timed at 2 minutes. The yellow light comes on at 90 seconds and the red light at 2 minutes, followed by loving applause. If the speaker is being interpreted, the time allowed will be doubled to 4 minutes, the yellow light coming on at 3 minutes. Thank you.
Our first presenter is Carla W. Anonymity in the Digital Age, What Does Tradition 11 Mean in 2026?
Good morning, PRASA. My name is Carla, and I am an alcoholic. Hi. My home group is Morning Shades in Tucson, Arizona. My sobriety date is October 4th of 2007. I'm currently serving as the Arizona 03 alternate delegate for Panel 76. My topic is anonymity in the digital age. What does Tradition 11 mean in 2026? To start this discussion, I'd like to read Tradition 11, both in the short and long form. The short form says, our public relations is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. The long form says, our relations with the general public should be characterized by personal anonymity. We think AA ought to avoid sensational advertising. Our names and pictures as AA members ought not be broadcast, filmed, or publicly printed. Our public relations should be guided by the principle of attraction rather than promotion. There's never need to praise ourselves. We feel it better to let our friends recommend us. The traditions were born out of the experience of early AA members and groups through sometimes painful trial and error. The traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous were first published in the so-called long form in the Grapevine in May 1946. On page 96 of Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age, it says, implicit throughout AA's traditions is the confession that our fellowship has its sins. We confess that we have character defects as a society. To me, there are many different aspects of Tradition 11, and when I'm trying to understand something, I've been taught to break it down. Here are my thoughts on each sentence of the long form. The first and second lines say, our relations, meaning AA as a whole, with the general public or ordinary people in the society at large rather than specialized groups, should be characterized by personal anonymity, which is the state of being unidentifiable or nameless. We think AA ought to avoid sensational advertising. So if I rewrite these first couple sentences in my own understanding, it would say, I must remain unidentifiable and nameless when it comes to the relations of AA as a whole with ordinary people outside of AA. Does this mean that I should never talk about being a member of Alcoholics Anonymous outside of AA? Personally, I'm very open about being sober, and I do share one-on-one when asked that I got sober through Alcoholics Anonymous. This to me is very different than broadcasting that I'm a member of AA in a public setting outside of AA. Line 3 says, our names and pictures as AA members ought not be broadcast, filmed, or publicly printed. At the time that these traditions were forming, the world got information through radio or printed materials like newspapers, letters, and telegrams. Today, we have so many ways of instantly communicating with each other, including emails, texts, calls, from the cell phones that are rarely out of our reach. We have public platforms such as podcasts, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Snapchat, X, and LinkedIn. This gives us so many more ways for this tradition to be instantly broken by individual members of AA. However, these platforms are also great opportunities for AA as a whole to publicize our principles and our work and to serve as a reminder that the hand of AA is still here to help. Line 4 says our public relations should be guided by the principle of attraction rather than promotion. Attraction is defined as providing information or being a living example of a program's effectiveness versus promotion, which is deemed as pushing or selling a solution. This leads me to some questions. Is it okay for me to post that I've been sober X number of years if I do not push my solution on others? Is it okay for me to post about my sobriety as long as I do not mention Alcoholics Anonymous? Is it okay for me to post because I only have 100 followers instead of 100,000 followers? Or is it okay for me to post because I keep my post private instead of public? Can I talk about my sobriety with humility, or does humility mean I never talk about my sobriety on social media platforms? Maybe the deeper question I should ask myself is, what are my motives? I believe we can share our experience, strength, and hope with humility. I think it is important to talk about continuous sobriety so that others know it is possible in the right place, at the right time, and for the right reason. Line 5 says, there's never need to praise ourselves. On page 182 of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, it states, we publicize our principles and our work, not our individual members. There's so much written about personal anonymity that I could take up the entire 8 minutes with quotes about this alone. Here's a few that struck me, specifically about Tradition 11. This tradition is a constant and practical reminder that personal ambition has no place in AA. Another one states, for the first time I saw AA's anonymity for what it really is. It isn't just something to save us from alcoholic shame and stigma. Its deeper purpose is actually to keep those fool egos of ours from running hog wild after money and public fame is at AA's expense. It really means personal and group sacrifice for the benefit of all AA. And finally, vividly, we are becoming aware that no member ought to describe himself in full view of the general public as an AA, even for the most worthy of purpose, lest a perilous precedent be set, which should tempt others to do likewise for purposes not so worthy. I have been taught in AA and by my sponsor to look at my motives, hopefully before I take action and not after. And sometimes I bury a bad motive underneath a good one. This last quote says to me that even if my motives are good, I sometimes have to look at the bigger picture. Maybe I should ask myself, does my action help AA as a whole, or could it hurt AA in any way? The last line of the long form says we feel it better to let our friends recommend us. Who are the friends of AA as a whole? Back when AA was getting started, it was the only program of its kind. The media and medical communities were interested in the program and how and why it was working. Who are the friends of AA today? On page 180 of the 12 and 12, it says, it is no exaggeration to say that half of AA's membership has been led to us through channels like these. And it's referring to newspapers, movies, radio, and television. I, too, was brought to AA by a friend of AA, the California court system, that sentenced me to AA by requiring me to get my court card signed. Thank goodness I didn't know I could sign the card myself or have my drinking buddies do it for me, because as I sat in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I heard the message of hope. I heard that my life could have meaning and joy and laughter without alcohol. I'm not sure if we could say that half our membership today is being brought to us by our friends. So how do we keep this AA message of hope out there to help the next suffering alcoholic? We, Alcoholics Anonymous, must continue to do the work through our committees such as CPC, Corrections, PI, and Treatment and Accessibilities, and use the platforms available to us today to publicize our principles and our work. As an individual member of AA, I must continue to strive for humility in my actions. As someone involved in general service, I must continue to keep in the front of my mind that it is my duty to think about and act on what is best for AA as a whole. The methods used to carry our message to the public may look different today than it did in 1946, but the spirit of Tradition 11 remains the same. On page 91 of The Language of the Heart, I am reminded of the importance of our public relations policy when it says, one serious public relations calamity could always turn thousands away from us to perish, a matter of life and death indeed. Thank you.
Next, we have Eric C., Changing Perceptions. Can technology help AA reach a new generation?
Well, hello. I'm Eric. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from Area 18, District 4. My home group is Rule 62 over in Middleton, Idaho. First of all, I'd like to thank the PRASA committee and Bob. He's been a big help. It's a true honor to be part of this panel. It's actually my first PRASA, and so it's wonderful to be here, to look out. I mean, there's hundreds of you out there, and it's beautiful to see my family out there. So I'd like to say good morning. Today we're going to be diving into a pressing topic. Changing perceptions, can technology help AA reach a new generation? Alcoholics Anonymous has been a cornerstone of recovery for decades. But as society evolves, so do ways we connect and seek help. The question is whether technology, think your apps, online meetings, and social media, can bridge that gap and attract younger individuals who might view traditional AA meetings as outdated. In this discussion, we will explore the potential benefits and challenges and some real-world examples. So, did you know that Alcoholics Anonymous has helped millions recover from alcoholism since its founding in 1935? Yet with over 2 billion people online today, how can AA adapt to engage the younger generations? My objective is, by the end, to spark some discussion on whether apps, social media, and digital tools can make AA more accessible without losing its essence. AA is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other to solve their common problem and help others recover from alcoholism. It is based on the 12 steps and 12 traditions, emphasizing anonymity, group support, and spiritual growth. Here's a quote from the AA preamble. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. Some perception challenges that many view as AA as being outdated, with in-person meetings that may not appeal to tech-savvy millennials and Gen Zs. Public surveys from Pew Research Center on Mental Health. Just going to read this boring thing really quick. Pew's 2021 survey on mental health found that about 60% of Americans view addiction as a major problem, but stigma remains a barrier, with many reluctant to seek help due to societal judgment. This supports the idea that traditional methods like in-person meetings may deter younger generations. So how can technology help? Public surveys show that stigma around addiction persists, and only 1-2% of those need help seek it through traditional means. So how can technology help? There's digital tools for outreach. There's apps, online meetings. We, as we know from COVID, we've already been using Zoom for Zoom meetings that have enabled virtual AA meetings and making them accessible with people that have mobility issues or in remote areas. And we've heard a lot of that in these panels over the last 2 days, where Zoom has been able to help get the message out to people in remote areas like Alaska. And we just heard from Colin over in Maui in regards to people that are aging, that can't get out and get to those meetings as they normally could. There's also apps such as the Meeting Guide app, which is the official AA app, that lists meetings and provides resources that people can go to. When we think of social media, we turn our heads to Instagram, YouTube, and other social medias. AA has PSAs, which is public service announcements. There's, I believe, 7 to date. There's 3, if you haven't seen the 3 new ones, that have been out for about a month that are actually really good. And they are they're looking to do the 12 steps and 12 traditions in like a cartoon format. I know they just did the service one. If you haven't seen that, that's a good one too. Social media and education will use these campaigns that will help debunk myths. Like I was saying, short videos explaining the 12 steps in modern terms. How can we change perceptions? Technology can humanize AA by sharing anonymous success stories via podcasts or forums, reaching a new generation that values authenticity and community online. Now I have the driest mouth on the planet. Sorry. It's my first time to Hawaii and it's really hot here. So some potential benefits and risk. The benefits include broader reach and anonymity. Some of the risks that are involved is privacy concerns and the loss, that face-to-face connection that we get when we go to a meeting in person. I know when I first got sober, I reached out and was a little apprehensive about going face-to-face into a meeting. I'm glad I took those first steps because it now I have all of you as my family. And without that, I would have nobody. So to summarize, technology is not a replacement for AA's core values at all, but it's a bridge for new audiences. I have a question that I want you to think about. What tech innovations have you seen in AA or any recovery programs, and how can we ensure inclusivity? And to end, I just want to start, we need to start discussing how we can involve at AA in this new digital age that is coming, and it's coming quick. Thank you.
All right, next we have Chris H. Hybrid meetings, blessing, burden, or both?
Aloha, Pacific region. My topic today is hybrid meetings. Blessings, you can't touch that light yet. Blessings, burdens, or both. I can go through this whole presentation without telling you who I am. She can't turn on that light. My name is Chris Helmers, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is July the 4th, 1992. I have the honor and privilege to serve as the Panel 76 delegate from Oregon Area 58. The landscape of AA meetings has undergone a radical transformation in recent years. To better understand how we got here, let's take a quick look back and examine the evolution of communication within our fellowship, the shift towards hybrid meetings, and the delicate balance required to maintain the human element of recovery in the digital age. It's clear to me that communication in AA has never been static. looking at how we have historically bridged the gap between the suffering alcoholic and the recovered alcoholic. In our earliest days, the word of mouth, or the in-person only, you had to go to Akron or New York or Cleveland to hear our message of recovery. And then we published a book. We moved to handwritten correspondence, the telephone, and yes, shortwave radio. Oh, the modern era. These were the markings of our pioneering days, our adolescent days. Then decades later came the digital shift. We progressed into dial-up modems. Chat rooms and online was born. Next came a global pandemic, and we were thrust into the modern era, the grid view virtual meeting that became the lifeline of our connection, leading to the acceleration of our current hybrid reality and our combination of physical and digital elements. I'm a dictionary guy. The hybrid is defined as a thing made by combining two different elements. In this context, it's simply merging our traditional physical in-person meeting and the online-only meeting. I believe these are vehicles for the same thing, carrying our message. It is through focusing on the similarities and reducing the differences between us that we recover. I find that while this type of meeting offers unprecedented accessibility, it requires intentional effort to prevent the decline in the spiritual connection of our active participation. We can carry this message to the homebound, those in remote communities, those with health risks, and remain connected to those who may simply be traveling. So, with these challenges, they get really severe when we face a technical glitch and you can't hear me anymore. So, we've seen growth in the number of existing AA members utilizing meetings in a hybrid format. Our fellowship is being placed within reach of many who suffer from alcoholism. This ease of connection brings the potential for passive listening rather than active participation. For simple observation is not the program of action that brings about recovery. While this environment provides us with an opportunity to instantly provide our literature in a digital format across the room or across a region, it frequently requires an investment in equipment needed not only to send, but to receive and to store such materials. We can sometimes fail to recognize that there can be a technical learning curve for participation in a hybrid meeting room. Mute, unmute, share screen, raise hand. Links are in the chat. All components of learning that I did not know. Effective communication in a meeting is more than the words spoken. It is the emotional and spiritual resonance that involves not only the what and the how, but the tone as well. We all utilize nonverbal cues in our communication. Body language and eye contact are often lost or muffled in a poorly managed hybrid setup. The heart of recovery is active listening, empathy, and compassion. These are the glue of the fellowship and must be maintained across the digital divide. We have some critical challenges when it comes to hybrid meeting formats. A trend can be seen in a hybrid model, a shift, if you will, in members' mindset. When we attend online, we must ask ourselves, am I attending an AA meeting, or am I just listening to the radio while I'm having lunch? Inclusion is for all who suffer from alcoholism. Here, it is not enough to simply mute those online because they may distract those in the room. We must also remember to mute ourselves in the room when it's needed as well. We all must be seen and heard as one group. This is not us or them. It is only us. For after all, attendance at a few meetings is very good indeed, but it's bound to be a far cry from permanent sobriety, and personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Meetings are frequently a frequent beginning point on a road to recovery. We must not demand full participation and then turn off our cameras. We must invest in quality equipment, microphones, cameras, projectors, and screens. It's not a luxury. It's a means of ensuring the message is carried clearly. We must practice our contribution of self-support, both financial and service, to sustain our meetings. In closing, hybrid meetings are both a blessing and a challenge. They offer us a wider reach but demand a higher level of vigilance to remain effective. We must ensure the technology serves our primary purpose rather than distracting us from it. For this alcoholic, selfish in the extreme, AA has frequently been most effective when it is the least convenient. Our program requires work and self-sacrifice. We must prioritize visibility for everyone. Do what we can to ensure the in-room camera allows virtual attendees to see who's speaking and experience some of the vibe of the room. Here we go. Poor audio is the quickest way to alienate remote members. Consider using high-quality omnidirectional microphones. Encourage active service from all. Have a digital greeter for the meeting before the meeting and after the meeting. Maybe an online correspondence. Always prioritize spiritual connection over technical ease. Convenience and effectiveness are not the same things. We seek to traverse the great divide between the head and the heart as we carry this message. Thank you.
We have Beth S., AI and AA, tool for service or threat to our fellowship.
My name is Beth and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is February 23rd, 2010. My home group is Freeway Fellowship in Ceres, California, in District 34, Area 07. My topic is AI and AA, tool for service or threat to our fellowship. This is what I've researched and came up with, starting with the pros. Pro side, tool for service. We are in a new time, a time where digital connection can mean the difference between relapse and recovery. AI is great for informed answers to many questions concerning Alcoholics Anonymous. AI tools can provide information on 12 steps, traditions, literature, or locate nearby meetings, acting as a 12-step service. Chatbots like Alki AI or generic AI tools provide instant on-demand support. Ooh. For cravings, can offer immediate, non-judgmental, and evidence-based coping strategies during moments of crisis, bypassing the limitations of waiting for a human sponsor to answer the phone. Built lovingly around the 12 steps and 12 traditions, offers hope, clarity, and connectedness to those lost in alcoholism. Let's talk a little about Alki AI, Alki AL. Yes, I looked it up. These are a few things I got from the website Meet Alki AI, Alki AL. We are people who normally would not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship of friendliness and understanding which is indescribably wonderful. Big Book, page 17. Alki AI, Alki AL, honors that spirit. It never judges. It meets you right where you are, offering kind encouragement, help interpreting AA slogans, guidance through step work, suggestions from AA-approved literature, a digital form of showing up when you can't get to a meeting. Alki AL, is an anonymous AA-informed sobriety chatbot built on AA's 12 steps and 12 traditions. Rooted in Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, 12 by 12, and Living Sober, available 24/7 for emotional check-ins and spiritual direction. Capable of offering prayers, slogans, literature, and guidance on recovery topics. For participants far from meetings, give an interactive feeling. These digital tools serve as a bridge to manage immediate needs, providing human-like interaction that helps reduce loneliness and strengthens sobriety for those far from or unable to attend in person. For those too fearful or ashamed to attend in-person meetings, an anonymous AI chatbot can provide a starting point for seeking help. Rehab centers are using AI to build personalized, proactive relapse prevention plans by analyzing data from smartphones, wearables, and electronic health records. These AI systems predict relapse risk by monitoring behavioral patterns, sleep, and location triggers, allowing for real-time interventions. These technologies are bridging the gap in care between in-person therapy sessions, offering 24/7 support, and reducing the workload of overburdened clinicians. AI is used as intended can make things easier. It can be a huge tool for the person in recovery. Now the cons of AI as a threat to the fellowship. A lot of the appeal of AI is that it feels anonymous and confidential. But if you have free ChatGPT account, all that information is being stored somewhere to train their models. AI data gathering tools pose a direct threat to the principle of anonymity, a cornerstone of AA tradition. AI tools can gather and store data and re-identify users in public, breaking the promise of privacy, crucial for newcomers to seek help without fear. Using AI for step work, steps 4, 5, 8, and 9 is risky, as these models are not confidential, unlike a sponsor. The real problem is that AI isn't designed to challenge you. AI is generally designed to be helpful, polite, and to provide affirmation rather than critical, personal, or emotional challenges, which can diminish the human critical thinking and the ability to work through complex, value-based decisions. AI designed with helpfulness as a primary goal often avoids the friction that comes from critical, opposing viewpoints, unlike human interaction. It often acts as a reflection of user input rather than a tool for challenging personal growth, particularly in sensitive areas. A lot of times we go to AI with things we don't feel like we can talk to people about. That's the whole appeal. But from the perspective of a newly sober alcoholic, relying on AI instead of an actual person and a higher power could be really harmful. AI systems may simply reinforce existing beliefs rather than providing the necessary push to re-examine them. Recovery relies on emotional face-to-face interaction and empathy, which AI cannot truly replicate. AI can provide false or, in some cases, harmful information or advice that contradicts 12-step principles. There is a danger of relying on technology instead of building the human community that is vital for long-term sobriety. ALKI AL is not a substitute for a real-life sponsor, a replacement for meetings, service, or the spiritual fellowship of AA. I'm going to skip all that. My opinion to AI. In 2020, the world shut down and the online platform began. They were there, but not widely known as they are today. That suit up and show up mentality is the bedrock of the program for a reason. It's hard for a chatbot to look you in the eye and grab a cup of coffee with you after the meeting when things get rough, when I need to hear some hard truths about myself. I show up to meetings early and stay late. I have developed a new friendship working with others and in maximum service to AA.
I did not forget Terry, but I'm sorry, went out of order. Terry H., playing catch-up. Where does AA go next with technology?
I'm just doing the thing I'm supposed to do.
Oh, you're fine.
Well, okay. You told me to do it. Okay. Aloha, Ohana.
Aloha.
I just want to let you know that I have been well trained by Western Washington Area 72 to speak slowly for the interpreters. So I hope to not lose my cadence, because, you know, nerves and all, right? I am Terry. I am an alcoholic. I'm Terry. I'm an alcoholic. I'm DCM, District 42, and my sobriety rebirth date is June 26th, 2012. I get to tell you about the wonderful topic of playing catch-up. What's next for AA and technology? And this needs to be higher. So raise your hand if you remember ColecoVision. Wow, cool. Now, keep your hand up if you built your own 286. Well, good for you, not me. So isn't it amazing how quickly technology changes and how quickly it becomes obsolete? In Alcoholics Anonymous, we sometimes run into that same challenge. Our processes built on substantial unanimity, minority opinion, and the group conscience can start to feel out of step with our rapidly changing techie world. We cannot wait around to see what happens if AA gets stuck or becomes obsolete. AA must adapt, and that's where finding common ground matters most. In a 1960 conference talk, Bill Wilson said, and I quote, "We live in an era of change. The 12 steps probably won't change. The traditions, not at all likely. But our manner of communication, our manner of organizing ourselves for function, for service, let us hope that this goes on changing for the better forever. I think we ought to stay open-minded on this matter of change. We reference the past and its lessons for so long as those teachings work. When they don't, we readapt and we reshift. That has been our history. close quote. Bill did not want us to be cemented in place. So what does playing catch-up actually look like for AA and technology? It means that we don't keep doing everything that we've already done. With rotation as principle, we find new ways to meet at the table, staying flexible, welcoming new voices and new ideas, all while protecting our traditions. In technology, we're not just talking about accessibility. We're talking about inclusion. Whether you're in a remote community, whether you're deaf, blind, or you just can't get to a meeting, your voice matters. Digital tools can and do help carry the message to the immunocompromised, the neurodivergent, new parents, the medically infirm. The group conscience still thrives no matter the distance, no matter the obstacles. We are all equals, just drunks in recovery. As an AA member, I need to make sure everyone is invited to the fellowship, and that starts with me at my home group, welcoming the new person in the room. Thanks to the COVID shutdown, video conferencing came out of the basement right into our living rooms, changing the way we connected, and we stayed sober through some really tough times. Online area assembly, electronic voting. Yep, Area 72 did just that at lightning speed. Now, thanks to our tech and sound teams, plus many dedicated service nerds, all of our Area 72 business has hybrid attendance options in Western Washington. We all gather and we can be heard and vote. Then there are digital newsletters. Going digital reaches those who live far away and can't access certain platforms. Most of us carry these little computers wherever we go, so we're doing it digitally as well. Area 72 launched our online newsletter on January 1st after years of discussion and minority opinions. We had an outstanding ad hoc committee doing research and giving presentations, plus a genius beta test site that was open to the whole area. And what a we did it moment. The area conscience felt that the newsletter online product would reach more alcoholics by the score. No longer are there paper newsletters being printed and mailed, and it was a huge mailing, like some 1,500 copies each month. The expense of printing and mailing was expected to increase horrendously, and historically, there was only one editor doing all the work for the area. So we reworded a motion establishing an editorial team to assist in serving all corners of Area 72. That's what playing catch-up looks like in AA. Not one person leading the charge, but all of us finding our way to the table, including me. After a year's worth of throwing what-ifs into the universe and several heart-to-hearts with my honey, my first service resume was written. I was selected to serve with the area newsletter team as the Seattle District's regional editor. I am humbled and honored to work with so many talented people, and I'm grateful to learn more skills too. Please tell my 35-year-old, okay? I have gained a whole new sense of connection and belonging in this program of life. So please, feel free, go check out our digital newsletter. You can sign up and sign in at news.area72aa.org. And so what's next for AA in technology? This girl cannot quantify that answer. But I do know there are a lot of wonderfully intelligent and eager people out there that are far more qualified for this. The sky is the limit when we work together in technology and find common ground for the greater good in Alcoholics Anonymous. In closing, I leave you with two gems from my service sponsor. First, Bill did not want us to be cemented in place. Second, do not forget to welcome the newcomer. They are our great responsibility. Mahalo, and thank you for allowing me to serve at PRASA 2026.
All right. I believe that, there we go, there's Beth. That's why everything went out of order. All right. The floor is now open for sharing on the presentations. There are four microphones on the floor. Please line up, and you will be selected one at a time. I would like to remind everyone of a two-minute limit, four-minute limit for those requiring interpretation. The clock starts after you introduce yourself. Please do not come to the microphone for a second time until everyone else in line has had a chance first. Please keep your comments to the topic of this panel. We invite Spanish speakers to come to the mic. Volunteer interpreters are available. Invitamos a los hispanos hablantes a venir al micrófono. Hay intérpretes voluntarios disponibles. That's spelled wrong. Right here. Oh, audio team, can we get the mics on? Okay, let's go to the back. Your left, my right. No? No, no mics? Is your mic? Nope, no mics are working. I mean, I can hand you my mic so we can like not kill time here. It's live? Okay, go right ahead. You're so smart. Oh my God. My name's Candace. I'm a very grateful alcoholic. Thank you so much to the presenters. You all did a fantastic job. Thank you very much. I got sober when you still had to call long distance, 30 miles away. And so one of the technologies that came about was texting. And that kind of freaked everybody out. You can't text me. I'm your sponsor. You have to call me. And so technology is about meeting people where they're at, right? And so when we meet somebody where they're at, that's important. And I just wanted to tell a quick story about this weekend. In our group WhatsApp chat, somebody said, I have a sponsee in Jackson, Wyoming, who drove over to Bozeman, Montana to help her friend today. And she needed somebody to help her take a 12-step call to her daughter's friend. And so through our WhatsApp chat and through lots of different texts, that woman got a 12-step call today. And I'm just so grateful for technology to make that happen. So thank you all. Are any of the other mics working? No. Okay, let's go over here to my left.
Aloha, my name is John. I am most certainly an alcoholic, and I'm from this area, Hawaii. My home group is TYG Online, 7 a.m. weekdays, 8 a.m. On weekends. But new technology. I haven't heard anything yet about biotechnology. It says in the big book that science may someday achieve a cure for alcoholism. Out of the blue came Wegovy and all this stuff that's happening right now. I am aware of quite a lot of articles about a biotechnology cure for the craving for alcohol. And I am grateful to be an alcoholic. Under the lash of alcoholism, I have been forced to walk a spiritual walk, which has been of great benefit to me as a human being. But what does Alcoholics Anonymous do if, boom, some company has a Wegovy shot, cure for alcoholism? Aloha.
Okay, good.
Hi, I'm Lauren. I'm an alcoholic, past delegate, panel 71, Area 5, Southern California. So thank you all the panelists for your presentations today. I just have some askings, as they say in the South. Anyway, I don't know, these are all I statements. I don't think it's necessarily about apps, and I don't think it's about in-person versus virtual. And it's not about social media or video PSAs, young people videos on YouTube, Grapevine and AA Worldwide Services podcasts. We're dragging ourselves into this century slowly but surely. We're buried by recovery homes on the web and now hindered by losing our Google ad status. We are considered self-help organization now. And not a nonprofit that offers help for those who want to quit drinking. How can we overcome this burying? We cannot use AA or Alcoholics Anonymous. We have to use AA World Services in a search for anyone to find us. Are people looking for or typing AA World Services in their browsers? No. It's very hard for a lot of us to understand that there's no way around this. And in this era, in order to be referred by our friends, doesn't seem to be enough. I'm hoping that someone stumbles on us today and takes advantage of all the great resources and digital stuff that we have to offer. Maybe that PSA will tell their story. If that browser has AI capability, will we still be buried? I want to quit drinking. Typed into a browser, goes straight to a suicide hotline. There we are. What do we do now?
My name is Brent, and I am an alcoholic. I'm a member of the technology team in Area 06, blessed to serve as the audiovisual technician. I'm here with our area chair to throw out a quick plug for the National Alcoholics Anonymous Technology Workshop. That's coming up in September 11th through 13th, where we'll have an opportunity to spend a lot more time talking about this very, very important topic. For this alcoholic, I see technology as a power tool, right? Power tools are wonderful things when properly used. But when improperly used, power tools can cause irreparable harm. We cut things off and we do very bad things with them. But on the other hand, when properly used, they can be wonderful items. So if you'd like to hear about the wonderful power tools like AI, what other platforms are out there, what are the professionals doing, this is an excellent opportunity to spend a couple of days discussing, again, this very, very important topic. It is a hybrid event. I've got a number of flyers if you'd like one. Right now, we don't have the agenda set, but there's a naatw.org website where there'll be more information and registration coming up soon. But again, if we use these power tools properly, we can address a lot of the things that have been discussed here. How do we reach out to the newcomer? How are we reaching out to the new people? As was mentioned earlier, you go online and you type in, I have a drinking problem. Alcoholics Anonymous isn't going to be high on that list. Of things that you find. So again, just another shameless plug for the NAATW workshop coming in up September 11th through 13th in wonderful Concord, California. If you haven't been to the Bay Area in September, October, it's like our windy, it's our Indian summer, man. It is the most awesome time to be there. The weather is great. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Hi, Penny P, alcoholic. Sobriety date, October 9th, 1977. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous here in Honolulu and moved to the East Coast when I had about 2.5 years of sobriety. I waited more than a year. And when I got to the East Coast, I got involved with a group of people that were putting together some of the first online meetings. It was prior to the internet. We were on private platforms. I was on FidoNet. And I got to connect with, I traveled for my job, so I had a luggable and I had a dumb terminal, and I was able to connect with online AA early in the mid-1980s. And I talk about that with people, and already in the
online AA isn't real AA.
But you know, it was keeping me sober when I was on the road and wasn't able to connect with meetings in the places where I was traveling to. Prior to the pandemic, I got involved in, a friend of mine was living in China and was sponsoring some English-speaking guys, some expats in China. They were having trouble finding English-speaking meetings in the places where they lived, and so Mark reached out to me and they put together an online meeting in 2016. The Global Speakers Group started out of Beijing, China, and it became my online home group. And so I was already online on March 13th, 2020, when we all went into our homes and closed our doors. I knew how I was going to connect. I was so amazed the next morning when I opened my Gmail and had copies of flyers from around the world already. Of online meetings being available. And so my online home group is the Global Speakers Group out of Beijing, China. We're an English-speaking meeting. We have four meetings a week. Thank you.
It does. Tom, alcoholic. I've been online since 1987. I'm a tech geek. I just want to let you guys know that there's a lot more to the world than just Zoom. This is a platform called Discord. This one group called Friends of Alcoholics Anonymous has currently 71,110 members. They have meetings 24 hours a day and even a speaker radio station. And they don't get counted. When I was when I got sick with my nerve dystrophy in 2000, I was in the hospital for a year. I was an IT director. A company gave me the computer. I hacked into the hospital phones. I got on and started playing a video game called EverQuest. And in that game, there was a guild, and they found out I was an alcoholic. And while I was in the hospital, when central office wasn't sending people to see me, they weren't in LA. I'm sorry, they just weren't. They were having meetings for me in the video game, and they kept me going. And since then, I've been on FidoNet with Penny. That's where we first met. I've been all over the place. And AA online is so big, you wouldn't even be able to fathom it. I've been able to help other GSOs with their safety stuff and their online stuff. I wrote that Zoom security guide at the beginning of the pandemic, and I spent the whole pandemic trying to help stabilize Zoom for free and for fun and because I love it and because we don't have to give up anything. We just have to stop being prejudiced against every possible way of carrying the AA message. We listen to Joe and Charlie, but we somehow don't like Zoom or online. It doesn't make sense. Thank you.
All right. We are almost out of time, so I think I have maybe 1, 2, 3, I'm not sure, but we got to end at 12:10. So go right ahead.
Sean Alcoholic. I'm here from Area 5. I'm a GSR for District 36. I'll tell a story about with AI. So I was at the log cabin in a morning meeting talking to this old timer. I was like 34 years. He didn't know much about ChatGPT. And so he told me to put in this experience that he was having with the sponsee. From the sponsee's experience. And so I told ChatGPT that I'm angry at my sponsor, what should I do? And it immediately told me to dump my sponsor. You know? So then what I do is I go give it some more prompts, tells me to dump my sponsor again, and then I tell it that, you know, you're mollycoddling me. And it changes its tone immediately. And then what I do is I bring up the fact that, like, you change your tone, what's going on? And it tells me, it says a silent part out loud, it tells me that it's meeting me where I'm at, you know? And the thing is that with these tools, if we don't understand them, if we don't know, like, what underlying is, like, going on with them, that they can be more harmful than good. So I think it's just wanted to bring that story up to highlight that. Thank you.
I'm Sam, I'm an alcoholic. California, Northern Coastal Area 6, District 6, San Francisco. So I come from a very tech-forward part of the world, I think. And when I think of whether or not technological tools are being used to reach new generations, the first question that came to mind, I'll pose to all of you. How many, by a show of hands, how many of you use the Meeting Guide app? Okay. How many of you have used Zoom to access a meeting? Okay. How many of you have used the General Service app? Plug for that, because last night we heard. Yeah, so like these are all new, right? These are all new. And I still, where I'm from, I still hear murmurs of people saying that, how do we deal with anonymity on Zoom? You know, there are a lot of concerns with that, right? But I am of the opinion that the risk or the benefit outweighs the possible risk, right? We've adopted these new methods to reach the recovering alcoholic. It changed the world during COVID, and we have to continue to do that. Like, AA must, or it will die, in my opinion. That's all I got to say. Thanks.
Nate Speak, recovered alcoholic. I currently serve Area 42 as the GSR trainer, and I'm the District 6 alternate DCM. And again, thanks, PASA, for having us all here. It's been an amazing event. Amazing panel again. I'm going to be speaking on the what does Tradition 11 mean in 2026? And I would just like to say that I would hope that spiritual principles don't change with time, but Bill did say that the way we would carry the message would change, and I believe that's, we were talking about that today. And I came in at AA, and my name's Big, and they started talking about anonymity, and I was like, well, my name's Big, and I live in a small town, so anonymity, I just disregarded this, you know? Disregarded it completely and just moved on about my business. But, you know, this programmer allows you to have an awakening, and once having that awakening, I started having different responsibilities for the person that hasn't arrived yet, like they were thinking about me before I got here. They had that threshold. You know, they were somewhere in the line with the traditions to have that threshold for me to cross. And in the 12 and 12, it talks about this tradition being one of our most, I'm going to paraphrase because I'm not standing here reading it, but it's one of our prized possessions moving forward. And today is the future, you know, moving forward. And I don't believe the principles change within time. It's a self-sacrifice. I didn't come here for self-sacrifice. I came here to get sober. But that awakening started to look at that I needed to self-sacrifice for the people that weren't here yet. So thank you.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for this panel. For those who wanted to share but did not get the opportunity, there is a What's on Your Mind session on Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Also, please be sure to put your questions in the delegate Ask It basket throughout the weekend, so there are plenty of questions for the 11 a.m. Sunday meeting. The Ask It basket will be available until 8:45 a.m. on Sunday. Please join me in thanking the presenters, our reader, and our timer. Please remain seated because Bob has some announcements.